Welcome back to Gospel Life, where each week we put our hand to the proverbial plow and labor into the fields of thinking through how to keep the main thing of the gospel the main thing in our lives. My name is Mark Fodale, and as always, it is both my privilege and my pleasure to join you on this Gospel Life journey. Now, our topic for today's episode comes from a three-word phrase I came across recently. Now, let me tell you, upon first stumbling upon it, I was surprised. I'd never heard or read that one before. And upon further reflection, I was intrigued. But then, let me tell you, as I read more and more extensively, well, those three words opened up a whole new way of thinking about, well, you guessed it, gospel life. That recently discovered phrase is the title of this week's podcast, Performances of Providence. That's right, Performances of Providence. And if you're perhaps unfamiliar with that word providence, here's just a simple definition. The providence of God is the working of God's sovereignty to continually uphold, guide, and care for his creation. We say that again. The providence of God is the working of God's sovereignty to continually uphold, guide, and care for his creation. Well, here's a shorthand definition. Providence is God's purposeful sovereignty. Providence is God's purposeful sovereignty. I really like that one. It's short. Let me tell you, it's gospel sweet. And as I consider God's providence, I'm reminded that God is, at each and every moment of each and every day, actively governing all things, from the mundane to the miraculous. Friends, that's providence as it relates to God. Okay, so let's jog back to performances of providence. What are those? Well, believe it or not, that phrase, though new to me and maybe to you, is actually a much-loved gem from church history. It made its first public appearance in 1678 in Puritan John Flavel's masterful book, The Mystery of Providence. Here's what our dear brother wrote so many centuries ago. It is the duty of saints to reflect upon the performance of providence for them in all the states and through all the stages of their life. Can I just say that again? It's the duty of saints to reflect upon the performance of providence for them in all the states and through all the stages of their life. So you heard it there, right? Performance of providence. Now, Flavel, being the keen student of scripture that he was, he actually gleaned that phrase from Psalm 57, verse 2, which says in the old King James, which, well, at the time was the only King James, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. Let me just read that again. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. And as Flavel pondered this one verse, as our Puritan forefathers so often did, he was struck with the call upon every Christian in every season of life to think deliberately about their life as one in which God is consistently and relentlessly and faithfully displaying or performing his hand of providence. In other words, every believer's story is at any and every moment one that God himself is writing. So that's right. God is the main author of and actor in our lives. It's not us. It's not the circumstances that surround us or the people who impact us or the events that happen to us. And so, rather than viewing life through a thoughtless or haphazard lens, Flavel and a great number of his contemporaries taught that those who know and love God can, should, and ready, must train themselves to interpret everything in their lives as purposeful performances and clear displays of the sovereign purposes of God. As Flavel would later write, as things which are orderly, specific, and endowed with divinely ordained meaning. Ha! Boy, that's good. Now, what does it mean? Well, it means that all of the events in and of our lives, whether small or great, regular or unique, sad or happy, dramatic or traumatic, commonplace or even epic level, are never just things that happen to us, but are instead carefully arranged elements in what Flavel and others called, quote, God's great plot. In other words, performances of providence. One writer put it this way: a Christian finds meaning in his or her life story because the Christian believes that God is the story's ultimate author. The details of life matter because they are graciously ordered by the all-wise God and therefore directed toward his glory and our good in ways we can only scarcely begin to discern in this life. Or, to use the words of Flavel from so many generations ago, he wrote this: search backward into all the performances of providence throughout your life. As Asaph wrote in Psalm 77, verses 11 to 12, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also on all of thy work and talk of thy doings. And then Flavel commented, oh, brethren, there is not such a pleasant history for you to read in all the world as the history of your own life. If you would sit down and record from the beginning what God has been to you and done for you, what evidences and outbreakings of his mercy, faithfulness, and love there have been in all the conditions you have passed through, if your hearts do not melt before you have gone halfway through that history, oh, they are hard hearts indeed. You know, as the Puritans and Reformers pondered the performances of providence as displayed in their lives, let me tell you, friends, it produced in them a deep sense of gratitude to God for his good and gracious hand, a gratitude that sustained and strengthened them in seasons of drought and hardship, as well as seasons of plenty and prosperity. And in fact, this is the era in church history when diaries and biographies and autobiographies began to flourish, as the saints of old labored to not only discern, but to record God's hand of providence in their lives as an enduring testimony to the church. Let me tell you, the gospel genius of living life through the lens of carefully watching and eagerly observing and thoughtfully recording performances of providence, well, it's the ongoing opportunity to train ourselves to see every victory and success as a good gift from God and every defeat and apparent setback as a divinely ordained trial intended for our ultimate good and our gospel growth. Richard Sibbes was a contemporary of Flavel who pastored and preached on this side of the Atlantic Ocean, and he once wrote this: if we could treasure up these providential performances, the past experiences of our lives would help us and sustain us in the present. And the longer we live, well, the richer our faith would be. He wrote, the way for a Christian to recover his ground in time of temptation is for him to enter into God's sanctuary and not give liberty to his thoughts and fears to intrude in, to not unduly consider the present estate he is in, but to look in faith to former experiences, to see the workings of God's promises, and then to apply them to his soul. If so, he ends, it shall go well with the righteous. Listen, let me just bottom line you as we bring this episode of Gospel Life to a close. Brothers and sisters, our lives are filled to the brim with what Flavel called enormous mattering. That is, each and every detail is orchestrated and executed by God himself. To use the words of the Apostle Paul, all things, and let me tell you, Paul meant all things, work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so, listen, as you embark upon a new day, eagerly anticipate the performances of providence in your life as God works tirelessly and faithfully to fulfill his covenant promises to you. And as you end each day, rehearse those performances that were displayed before you. And as you do, remember that the single greatest performance of providence in your life is you being raised from the deadness of your sin and by God's rich mercy being brought into new life in Jesus Christ. Oh, the applause for that most masterful performance will last into eternity and beyond. As Wesley once wrote, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace."